drenched by the sprinkler on their way out. I mean, that was such a beautiful little cherry on top of the entire affair that I couldn't believe it. Camille Grammer. I did not plan the sprinkler system going off on the girls as they left. Adrian Belouf. That made the whole episode so iconic. Nothing was planned. It was very real. And yes, it blew up within seconds. Camille Grammer. After dinner, they were all in the car on the way home, and they were showing naked pictures of me from Playboy and laughing like it was some joke. Kathleen French. The funny thing was, the women are all 40 plus, and they're in the back of the car, and Kyle's trying to show them the pictures, but no one can see them. They're like, where are my glasses? Can you see them? I can't see the pictures. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Here was Kyle's look how trashy Camille is moment, and no one can see the pictures. Camille Grammer. That was one of the few scenes I didn't want producers to show. It hit below the belt. Dave Ruppel. So much about that night went to hell, and we have a great episode because of it. At odds with the women, Camille slowly began to realize she had no refuge in her home life either. Over the 6 months of casting and filming, her marriage completely dissolved. Camille Grammer. When I talked to Kelsey in December about being on the show, he said something that sent up a red flag. He said, well, when is the show filming? I told him it would be February through June or July, and he goes, oh, that's perfect timing for me. I thought he was just nervous about Broadway. Alex Baskin. Pretty early on, I remember some of the women speculating like, oh, he must be doing Broadway because he wants to live in New York away from his wife. And others were like, no, that's ridiculous. Camille Grammer. I flew out to New York in February to look at apartments and schools. I had no idea that he'd already met somebody and was planning to end our relationship. We filmed the whole process of meeting with the interior decorator, discussing how to make this apartment feel like a home and bringing our furniture into it. And I said this stupid thing about this 3,500 square foot apartment being too small for me. I look back and laugh at how ridiculous I sounded. But at the time, my kids were being raised in this house that had a tennis court, a pool, a pond, a riding stable, barn. It had everything. So for them to go from living on 5 acres in Malibu to an apartment in Manhattan would be an adjustment. Suffice it to say, we never moved into that apartment. Chris Cullen. The first time we realized something was really wrong was when we went to New York and we shot in his dressing room before the show. He was really icy to her. She was like, I love you. And he just said, I know. Camille Grammer. When we filmed in New York, Kelsey would give me a cold embrace and kind of fake play with the kids. It was forced and very uncomfortable. I just thought he was not happy that the cameras were there. Like, keep them on Camille, not me. I want to stay private. Alex Baskin. We started to sense the distance, and she became aware of it and was insecure about it. She thought she derived her status from him. So to acknowledge that he may have had one foot out the door would diminish her power. I don't think she wanted to admit it to herself. Camille Grammer. It was what they say, the wife is the last to know. Most of the theater world knew that Kelsey had a girlfriend because she would go to the shows and she was in his dressing room. I would get these phone calls from the front desk at the building in New York City. Your vegan burger is here. And I'd go, my vegan burger? I'm in Malibu. The third time they called me telling me my vegan burger delivery was there, I said, can I talk to your manager? Because I don't know who is ordering these vegan burgers. I'm here in Malibu. And they said, don't get me in trouble. I'm new here. And they hung up the phone. So, you know, she was shacked up in the apartment that was supposed to be rented for my family and ordering food, and the restaurant was calling me about the delivery. Alex Baskin. The other women were sensing it. There was definitely a lot of speculation. Camille Grammer. I wasn't handling it well. I cried a lot. I lost a lot of weight. I think I went from 116 to like 98 or 96 pounds. Chris Cullen. She developed this kind of protective attitude. She definitely put up a big brick wall around herself because she was worried about what this all meant and how this was all going to play out on TV. Camille Grammer. Kelsey and I were arguing over the phone a lot, and I was starting to get nervous. Finally, one night I called him at 12:30 or 1 a.m. my time. He sounded drunk, and there was a woman in his bed. He didn't want to talk, but I pressed it, and he was so cruel and basically said, "I don't want to be married anymore. It has nothing to do with another woman." But I could hear somebody in the background. I said, "What about the kids?" I was crying, and he's like, "Oh, the kids? They'll be fine. Kids are resilient. They'll get over it." Dave Ruppel. After we finished shooting for the season, the news broke that Kelsey was leaving her. Alex Baskin. One of the questions at the time was, "Well, you already know they're going to get divorced. Do you even care to see it play out?" Dave Ruppel. The audience wound up appreciating that they could sort of play detective and see a clue. When we went to New York to see Kelsey in his play, and he gave her that very stiff hug, now the audience could watch and go, "Oh, look, there's a sign." Andy Cohen. When you watch it going down, it was all there. Alex Baskin. Now you see that all the time in our Housewives series, where there are leaks about what's happening on the show well before the current season, and it makes the audience want to watch even more in some cases. While Camille's estrangement had been captured on camera, Taylor spent that first season desperately trying to keep troubles in her own marriage out of sight. Kathleen French. Taylor came in for her first interview and put on the most spectacular show I'd ever seen. She was funny and hilarious and amazing and had great stories about what she did in her business. My gosh, she was a superstar. And the minute we started rolling, it was like trying to hold on to water. There was nothing there. Taylor Armstrong, Housewife. There were days on the show when the stress and the anxiety were so high I was shaking from fighting with friends and all the stuff that was coming out of people's mouths. But even in the middle of all the arguing with the girls, it was more scary for me to go home to Russell. Alex Baskin. As we got deeper into filming, we would get calls where Taylor would describe arguments with her husband that were not outright physical abuse, but sounded really concerning. And we would say, "Listen, if you're fearful for you and your daughter's safety, please let us know and I'll put you up at a hotel and we'll take care of you. What can we do?" And she would say to us, "No, I'm fine, no big deal. It was a misunderstanding." Taylor Armstrong. Russell believed he would absolutely be loved by America. He thought he was going to win everyone over because he was extremely charismatic when he chose to be. But instead, people were like, "Do you two have problems?" They could tell by our spacing and the way he would look at me and grab hold of my hand. It was very forced. I remember doing the Wendy Williams show while season one was airing. And in the middle of the segment, Wendy said, "He abuses you, doesn't he?" And I literally almost fell out of my chair, because clearly that's something your abuser cannot find out, that other people know. I mean, that's like a death sentence. So I was like, "What? No," in that weird, frantic, breathy way. And she just looked at me. I don't know if she has a history or has worked with people who have been abused, but she didn't go any further with it. She just looked at me with a blank stare, basically like, "I know." Douglas Ross. She was denying it always. Taylor Armstrong. The cameras, I believe, did provide some protection. The problem was that as I saw season one unfolding, I would think, "Oh my God, who is that girl?" Because I was constantly trying to transform to keep him happy. With abusers, there is no winning. "Your dress is too long. You look like a nun. Now your dress is too short. You look like a whore." You're constantly trying to mold who you are to keep the lid on the pot. But watching this season back, I was like, "Oh my gosh, guys, I look like a Stepford wife." It was hard to watch. But you have to remember, Kyle and Lisa could have drama with us all day or all night and then go home to a support system. For me, I had drama all day with the girls, and then I go home and have frightening drama at home. So I was living in a constant state of anxiety. Every cast member in Beverly Hills had something to hide, but season one saw carefully buried truths unearthed about the Richard sisters, resulting in a dramatic finale feud in uncomfortably tight quarters. Chris Cullen. There had been tension between Kim and Kyle all season, and everything came to a head at our final party. Things started going wrong that night when Kim and Kyle had a fight by the ladies' room. Kim got mad, took off her mic, and said, "I'm leaving." Another producer and I chased her down and said, "You can't leave. This isn't settled. You still have things to say. If you walk away, you're handing the narrative over." Dave Ruppel. She continued her meltdown off camera, running through the lobby saying, "Fuck you, fuck me, fuck you." Chris Cullen. Here's the truth. We didn't know Kim was struggling with alcohol at this point. We had no idea. So when we got to the lobby, I said to Kim, "Let's have a drink before you leave." We sat and had a drink in the bar, and I said, "If you don't want to go back to the group, who can you go back to talk to?" She said, "Adrienne's the only one who's ever been fair to me. She's the only one I trust." Dave Ruppel. We'd hit our wrap point because the city of Beverly Hills had a law that we had to be wrapped up on the rooftop at a certain time. The hotel wouldn't let us shoot in the hotel room. We weren't even allowed to shoot on the sidewalk. So the only place physically where we could shoot was the limo. Chris Cullen. We drove around the block like 10 times while they talked. And then, as we came up to the hotel that last time, Kyle opened up the door and said, "What's going on? What are you doing? What are you saying?" In came Kyle and boom, all of a sudden, like Camille's dinner party, we were in it. Dave Ruppel. I actually tried to talk Kyle out of getting into the limo because Kim was really upset and Kyle was just red hot. She said, "I'm getting in the car. You can shoot it or not." So of course I had to put a camera person in there. Kyle Richards. I was so mad about the things she was saying that calling her an alcoholic just came out of my mouth. Chris Cullen. Kyle was feeling like, "Oh my God, we're on television. My sister, who's been sober, has fallen off the wagon. I know she's drunk. The producers don't know she's drunk, and I know how this is going to play out." There was tension building up in Kyle all season, and it all came vomiting out in an explosive, very provocative way. Kyle Richards. When people drink, they're not the nicest people in the world, let's just put it that way. And it doesn't bring out the best in others around them either. Adrienne Maloof. At that moment, I was thinking, this is really real. They're furious with each other. The passion they each had and what they believed, it was so shocking. But there was a long history there. Dave Ruppel. In Kim's viewpoint, going back a long way, her sisters wouldn't have had the lives they did if Kim had not been a successful child actress. Kim took them to all of these Hollywood parties, which is how Kathy met her husband. Kim's husband was a rich oil guy, so she had been at the top of the heap, but when she divorced him and her drinking became a problem, she lost everything. So in that limo, when she said, "You stole my goddamn house," in her mind, she was going back years. She felt like they owed her. Chris Cullen. It's insane to be that close to family drama and know you are part of the team documenting it and putting it on television. Andy Cohen. The sisters were begging Evolution and Bravo to take the scene out of the show. That didn't happen. Sherry Levine. All of the Housewives series are based on shooting people in their lives and documenting their real interactions. The series really does capture life as it happens, and everyone has moments that they want to keep off the air. The great equalizer for all the franchises is that it's all out there. If it's shot, we will edit it in. Once the show premiered, RHOBH was must-see TV, not least of which because Camille instantly became a housewife viewers loved to loathe. Andy Cohen. I remember the night of the Beverly Hills premiere. I had all of the Beverly Hills housewives on Watch What Happens Live, and I said to Camille, "This is going to be really rough this season, and you should stay off Twitter. You will have vindication at the end when people see what Kelsey did to you, but it's going to be really rough." And it was. Kathleen French. There are times when viewers really don't like something that cast members have done, and they can be really vicious. My husband, Bill Fritz, was working on the structure of the reunion, including the questions from viewers. And every single one was another expletive. Camille, you're a blank. Camille, I think you're a blank. Camille, you're... I mean, I was blown away. I thought she made missteps. I thought she mishandled things. But I never saw her that way. It was just like, oh my God. Andy Cohen. It's really hard to put stuff back in the bottle once it's out there. But I wouldn't say Camille got a bad edit. I would say we used the most interesting material. And she handed it over very freely. She did live a super fabulous life in these amazing homes, so in her mind, she was just harmlessly flaunting it. But it obviously came off differently. Sherry Levine. She was hands down the most jaw-dropping housewife to watch that season. She was fearless in saying whatever she felt, especially in the first half of that season. And that included some pretty caustic comments, but she delivered them with style and verve. Alex Baskin. There was such a wide gap between who she thought she was and who the audience was telling her she was. And it was exacerbated by the fact that her husband was leaving her. She felt very alone and vulnerable. To have been Mrs. Grammer for all those years, she had ass-kissers all around her. And then to have the audience just flood her with that hate, it gutted her. Kathleen French. What was that magazine cover? Most Hated Housewife in America? She was devastated. Douglas Ross. She didn't see how she was coming off when she watched the episodes. And then when the audience response would come in, she'd have a complete reversal and call up Alex and unload on him for hours, screaming, crazy, angry. If she could have embraced the idea of being the villain on the show, she could have gone on to be one of the biggest reality stars of all time, a sort of love-to-be-hated type. But she couldn't handle the negative feedback from the audience. Camille Grammer. My mom's cancer was coming back right around that time, too. So even without knowing Kelsey was leaving, I had a lot on my plate. I was very lost during filming. Andy Cohen. I talked to Camille a lot before that reunion. Reunions are meant to be about retribution, but also rehabilitation. It's a place where you confront the worst and hopefully come out for the better. And Camille did that. She clearly had thought about what she wanted to say, and she did a really good job. She took my shit, and she owned it. Camille Grammer. Lisa Vanderpump and I were talking a lot during that time, and she told me, Camille, you'll have a better season. It's not going to be like that again. Things change the second season. Despite the fact that season one had been a smashing success, the women of Beverly Hills acutely felt the sting of their secrets coming out, making season two a bit of a challenge from production's point of view. Luckily for producers, they had a firecracker with a short fuse coming along. Brandi Glanville, housewife.
I was going through a very public divorce from Eddie Cibrian, who'd left me for Leanne Rimes, and I have a big fucking mouth. So all the tabloids were calling me, and instead of saying, no comment, I was like, he's a scumbag. She's a whore. I think it caught the producer's eyes.
Chris Cullen. Brandi did not tiptoe her way in, and I'm glad she didn't. But we had limited access to her life because her ex-husband certainly didn't want to be on the show and wouldn't allow the kids to be on the show. Brandi Glanville.
My ex-husband was holding out on me in every way, probably to torture me. I was a 36-year-old single mom. All I'd ever done was model. I had to do whatever came my way. If I had been rich like Camille and had $40 million, you would never see me again. I didn't ever want to be famous.
Chris Cullen. Because she wasn't married, she was very different than the other ladies that we had on the show, and it changed the playing field a little bit. Brandi Glanville.
I did all of these interviews to be a full-time housewife. I went through all of this craziness, and then months went by, and I didn't hear anything. And then I got a call from one of the producers, and she was like, hey, you want to come to a party tonight? On camera?
Chris Cullen. The ladies weren't welcoming to her. They didn't like someone coming onto the show in season two. So they weren't going to make it easy for her. Dave Rubel. That game night went so disastrously bad from the start. Kim and Kyle went low first. Chris Cullen. Kim showed up with a Starbucks cup or Dunkin' Donuts cup with booze in it. She had already been partying. Brandy Glanville.
When the game started, they were just super cocky to me. They were mean girls. I had never even met Kim, so I didn't understand why she hated me so much. I just felt like I was being attacked.
Chris Cullen. I knew Brandy would be at her best if she was really focused and called the ladies out and was honest about everything. There's nobody like her, and you can't hide from Brandy. She'll come for you with a big flashlight. She let them have it that night. Brandy Glanville.
I really don't like to fight with people. I just happen to have a temper. And if somebody hits me, I stab them. I'm very reactionary. It's something I can't control.
As the evening unfolded, things got increasingly heated between Kim, Kyle, and Brandy. Kim hid Brandy's crutches, and Brandy accused Kim of doing crystal meth in the bathroom. Brandy Glanville.
The night before, I had learned about crystal meth in a drug awareness class I took as part of a DUI I'd gotten. So it was just on the top of my head. Kim had come in acting loopy and immediately went into the bathroom multiple times, but everyone was pretending like she was fine. So I was like, are we all just not going to state the obvious here? This is kind of insane.
Kyle Richards.
That was horrible because our minds went straight to, our kids are going to see this. And it wasn't true. But as we know, in reality TV, you say something and put it out there, it just sticks.
Chris Cullen. Kim wasn't doing anything in the bathroom. I had to go into the bathroom many times with her because her mic was falling off. So we had to readjust her. But she was a little messy. Andy Cohen. I thought it was mean that they took Brandy's crutches. That was a little ugly for me. Kyle Richards.
Because Kim and I are sisters, we're always lumped together, no matter what. So that night, Kim hid Brandy's crutches. For years, people have said, you and your sister hid her crutches. That's not what happened. Kim hid the crutches because she had a bone to pick with Brandy.
Brandy Glanville.
I had broken my leg right before filming because I was drinking and walking. When my crutches were hidden, it's like there were bullies standing right next to me. I looked at them and was like, I can't leave. I need my crutches. I was crying and I had to wait for one of the girls to get my crutches. And that's when I realized, oh, they don't give a fuck about me. They're making a show.
Taylor Armstrong. There are a couple of scenes that people refer to when I would say, enough. And one of them was that game night. I really thought that Kim and Brandy could potentially get physical with one another. Brandy Glanville.
I grew up fighting, so I do have that in me where, if things escalate, I can get physical.
Taylor Armstrong. I got in between the three of them and kind of pushed them apart. It really touched a nerve for me because there was physical abuse going on at my house, and it was like, I am dealing with this enough at home. I can't watch this happen here, too. Andy Cohen. I know that night resonated with viewers, but it was too dark for me. Brandy Glanville.
It was fucking hell.
Chris Cullen. It cemented Brandy and created a dynamic where the other women knew that even if they didn't like her, she was formidable and was worthy of her place on the show. She wasn't going to let them get away with anything. Brandy Glanville.
After the party, they were like, we'd like to have you be a friend of. I was broke. I had no money. So I basically worked for a small fee my first season. Like literally no money. And of course, I did the most and I got the least.
The allegations at the game night were part of ongoing concerns surrounding Kim's sobriety. Throughout season two, worries escalated until she had to skip the reunion in favor of a one-on-one interview with Andy Cohen as she tried once again to pursue a life of recovery. Kathleen French. Kim had mostly kept her shit together through season one. Season two was the beginning of the spiral down. Chris Cullen. That season was emblematic of a conversation we've had with Kim for years. She wants to keep coming back to the show,
and she wants to show her sobriety. So, okay, we will document that. But then, if she falls off the wagon again, do we pack up our cameras? Andy Cohen. When it was clear that it was a real problem, we wanted to be responsible, and we didn't want to put her in a situation where anything could be exacerbated. We considered her family and wanted to work with her to get her better. Bravo paid for her rehab. Problems only worsened as the pressure Taylor felt to hide her domestic trauma became too much to bear. Chris Cullen. Taylor and Russell. That was an enormous crisis of conscience. Kathleen French. It had been hinted at between seasons, even toward the end of season one, that there was something off in the marriage. Chris Cullen. The ladies started hearing rumors that Russell was abusive to Taylor. Lisa had heard something. Kyle had heard something. Adrian had heard something. We would go into a scene in Taylor's house and all be like, let's just watch for anything. Let's watch for Russell being annoyed with her. Let's look for the eye rolls. Let's look for if they're frustrated with each other. Let's try to find these moments that support the rumors that we're hearing and see if we can capture that on camera. Within those first seasons, you could see they didn't have a loving relationship. It was pretty apparent things weren't great there. Adrian Malouf. I knew from my own marriage that it's hard, and it's on your mind the whole time. When you have issues, you can't really discuss on camera. Taylor Armstrong. Looking back, subconsciously, I thought the show was going to give me an opportunity to have some income of my own and maybe give me a little bit of power in the relationship. And I hoped the cameras might keep him under control. That if I had cameras at the house and there were cameras filming me the next day, he wasn't going to leave marks on me. I believed that the cameras would make him better, because that's all I really wanted. I just wanted him to be good all the time, to be a good husband, and to be the person that I knew he had the potential to be. But unfortunately, he couldn't control himself. Kathleen French. Everything was just off. He was a man who could never really look you in the eye. There was always something, you know, the hair on the back of your neck would sort of go up, at least for me. Maybe as a woman it was different. He literally looked through me as if I didn't exist. Dave Ruppel. In season one, when we traveled to Las Vegas, Russell had forgotten his driver's license. So I wound up spending about an hour with him one-on-one at the Burbank airport. He was very soft-spoken. I'd never seen him lose his temper. Camille Grammer. He was very quiet. You didn't understand why they were still together. Adrian Malouf. She would occasionally tell me about some of the abuse that was going on. I would always tell her, listen, you probably need to get some professional help. But did we know the extremes she was living through? Oh, no, I had no idea. None of us did. Kyle was very close to her at the time, and I don't believe Kyle even knew the depths of how dark that was. Chris Cullen. In the early seasons, we would wrap that day's filming at 10 o'clock and go home. The ladies would stay back and continue drinking. We would never leave them alone now. Now we're there with iPhones and little mini cruiser cams, but back then, they would stay after filming to hang out, and that's when Taylor would get wasted to the point she would start confiding in Kyle and Lisa, telling them, Russell beats me. She was telling them off camera. And then we'd come up with cameras again, and she would act like everything was fine and normal. Taylor Armstrong. It's tough for production, from their perspective, because they're making a show about someone's reality. But no, I definitely would not have gone to production to say, by the way, I'm being abused. Adrian Malouf. Eventually, Lisa, Kyle, and I talked to the production company. Chris Cullen. The ladies came to us and told us, but we couldn't break their trust and go to Taylor and say, hey, we've heard this. Your castmates are talking about you behind your back. What do you have to say about this? We needed to be the people on the sidelines and couldn't have our hands in the story, so we needed to wait for Taylor to come forward. Unbeknownst to the other women and production, Camille had the clearest idea of what Taylor was enduring behind closed doors. Taylor Armstrong. I had gone to meet Camille when she and Kelsey were divorcing. I wanted to talk with her about custody because I was trying to figure my own way out. Not long prior,
Russell and I had been at the Super Bowl, and things got really dangerous. He knocked my jaw out of the socket. I remember literally lying over the toilet with my jaw out of the socket, and there was saliva running out of my mouth. He wouldn't call me an ambulance, and I couldn't talk, so I was just lying there, trying to figure out how to lower my jaw so I could get it in place. After we got back from the Super Bowl, I went to Camille and shared with her what had just happened and asked her about what to do about custody. Camille Grammer. It was heartbreaking. She was trapped. There's no question. I went over to her house. She showed me photos. We talked for hours about what had happened and how it transpired. It was really very upsetting. She was terrified of him. Taylor Armstrong. I was trying to help Camille understand that my situation had become severe enough that I was fearful. I wanted her to understand why I needed to get away safely and with custody over my daughter. I felt like she was someone I could confide in privately. As tensions came to a boil, Lisa invited the ladies to a tea party where Taylor had planned on confronting Lisa about not being a real friend to her. Camille Grammer. It all came to a head that day. Taylor Armstrong. My understanding was that Camille would have my back if I brought up some other stuff about Lisa at the tea party. But when I brought up that stuff, that's when Camille blurted out about the abuse. Camille Grammer. When she said, "Yes, I want you to tell the truth," I said, "Do you really want me to tell the truth?" And she nodded yes. I thought she meant about the abuse. I didn't realize she was talking about Lisa. Taylor Armstrong. When Camille said, "We don't say he hits you, but now we said it," I was completely in shock. Camille Grammer. I was really disappointed in myself for not reading her signals the right way. Dave Ruppel. By this point, Taylor had told all of them in various ways, but never during filming. Taylor Armstrong. I don't even think I said anything in response because I was literally so awestruck that it possibly could be coming out. But Camille had been prompted to bring it up and was panicking a little. Camille Grammer. I felt a lot of pressure on different sides. Certain people wanted me to talk about it. I know Adrian wanted to bring it up. She thought it was important. Lisa thought it was important to have an open discussion. Production, too. Everybody was so fearful that she was getting hurt, and nobody was addressing it, and she wasn't getting any real help. Taylor Armstrong. The cat was out of the bag, and it was definitely going to make the air. Adrian Malouf. There was a pain on Taylor's face in that moment that was so real and so raw. Maybe it was too raw. It was even tough for the audience. Taylor Armstrong. I knew my personal life was about to be completely uprooted, and it was going to go one of probably three ways. One, he was going to be forced to do anger management, and the odds of him getting better from that were slim to none, because he had done 2 years of court-ordered anger management before I ever met him. Two, we were going to get divorced, which would have been a long-fought battle. Or three, he was going to kill me. He had threatened to kill me multiple times. After things would get violent, when he would finally calm down the next day, many times he said, "I'm afraid I'm going to kill you someday," like almost in a remorseful way. Camille Grammer. After I said it, I felt like shit. It was just one of those moments, and I regretted it every moment after. I felt so bad that I would put her in harm's way at all. And, you know, she got really upset at me, reasonably so, because she was afraid. Taylor Armstrong. I don't know that I would have found a way out otherwise. I definitely have friends, and I have a very supportive family, but I didn't want my parents to go through that with me. And frankly, I was afraid of what he might do if I left. Desperate legal maneuvers were quickly threatened on multiple sides, complicating not just the group dynamics, but also production for the remainder of the season. Chris Cullen. Taylor and Russell served Camille with legal papers, some sort of cease and desist. Alex Baskin. Camille turned around right away and threatened to sue us if we aired that show. She was worried that if we put it out there, Russell would sue her. Dave Ruppel. All this time, we're still filming, and at the end of season two, Kyle had her annual white party. Chris Cullen. Because of the legal papers, the cast said we couldn't have Taylor and Russell come to Hawaii with us after the white party. Dave Ruppel. But we wanted Taylor and Russell to go to the party to find out they'd been disinvited from the trip. Chris Cullen. And so they arrived in front of Kyle's house at the white party, and the group came out and said they weren't invited to Hawaii. Dave Ruppel. Obviously, Taylor was very upset, and I pulled her aside, outside of Russell's earshot, and I said, "Are you safe if you go home with Russell?" And she said, "Yes, I'll be safe." Chris Cullen. Taylor and Russell got in the car and left, and apparently that's the night he punched her in the face. Taylor Armstrong. When he made that last blow to my face and I ended up in Cedars-Sinai Hospital, it was inevitable it was coming out. The nurses were coming into my room saying, "Oh, we love you on the show." And there was no question that I had been hit. Also, I have friends in law enforcement in Beverly Hills, and they were saying, "You know, the DA is going to have to press charges whether you do or not, because you're a public figure in Beverly Hills. It would be irresponsible of them to let this one go." And I was having to miss filming due to corrective surgery. So there were a lot of questions brewing. That's when it felt like everything was really tightening around me. I knew this was becoming more and more public, and I didn't know what his reaction was going to be. Chris Cullen. As far as witnessing any physical abuse, that was the first time anything was clear to us in production. The next day, Taylor called Lisa and Kyle on the beach and said, "I'm leaving Russell." So we really needed to step in at that point because she started the separation procedures. They never got back together after that. Taylor Armstrong. I had my reconstructive surgery in July, and we filmed the finale not long after that because I still had a black eye when we filmed. I remember being in a limo with my psychiatrist, Dr. Charles Sophie, because he went with me to Sur to talk with the girls. Doug and Alex got in a limo with Dr. Sophie and me, and they really were adamant about the fact that I needed to say the words, "I've been abused." It was for legal reasons because they needed to hear it from me directly before they could air it, because it's a criminal allegation. Any hope to repair Taylor and Russell's broken marriage was shattered just before the season two premiere. Taylor Armstrong. Russell and I were still trying to sort everything out. He had moved out, and I was staying in our home. We were going through financial and custody discussions, and we had a meeting scheduled in the middle of the day at his office. He was so adamant about trying to make me happy at that point because he didn't want me to press charges, and he was trying to find a way to get himself out of this mess. I showed up at his office, and the office was dark. He was a major workaholic, so he was never out of his office, and I thought, this is weird. I started calling him, and I waited around, but he never came back. Then I started calling his colleagues, but no one knew where he was, and he wasn't answering his phone, which was completely bizarre. As the day went on, I started getting a really weird sinking feeling like, this is just not right. I had a bad, bad feeling. Finally, I called one of my girlfriends whose husband was a world championship kickboxer, and I asked if he would go with me to the house to look for Russell, just in case things got violent. So he went with me, my assistant, and Kennedy to the house. We buzzed the gate multiple times, no answer. He had someone living in a guest house upstairs who said he hadn't seen him since Friday, but he came down and let us in. The tenant banged on the door, no answer. But we could see his car was there. So we went over to the window of the bathroom and my friend pulled the windows open. When we went inside, we were able to see into the bedroom. He had hanged himself. I ran into the street in front of the house and was screaming and crying. And the 911 tapes, unfortunately, are public. I was on the ground in a ball on the street. And all of a sudden, I realized that Kennedy was in the car with my assistant. And I started screaming, "We've got to get Kennedy out of here." So my assistant called my nanny and they got Kennedy away. And then the police, ambulance, fire trucks, helicopters, everything started coming.
That's how all that went down. News of the suicide spread quickly. Chris Cullen. It was early in the morning, and all of a sudden, I saw the headline on one of the internet rags. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills husband commits suicide. Alex Baskin. TMZ had it right away and reached out to our cast, so I remember getting those calls from the cast incredibly early in the morning. Andy Cohen. I just remember feeling lightheaded. It was bad. Brandy Glanville.
When I got the news about Russell, I literally didn't get out of bed for a week. It hit me so hard because I just felt like to take your own life, like I could never imagine what your headspace has to be. It broke my heart.
Taylor Armstrong. After it all happened, I somehow got home. I spent the next few days in shock. My friends and mother were there. People were sending flowers. It was just a blur for quite some time. Adrian Maloof. It was horrible. Everyone involved with the show faced a dilemma as the clock ticked down to the season 2 premiere. Douglas Ross. Nobody exactly knew the right thing to do and how to handle the show. Andy Cohen. We were on a mission to not only find out what happened, but to check in with Taylor. We were weeks away from the premiere, and there was a conversation about whether we were going to air the show at all. Douglas Ross. In the end, we decided that we had to deal with it head on. So we re-edited the first episode and brought the cast together to talk about how shocked and sad they were and how badly they felt for Taylor. Taylor Armstrong. They did not ask me to talk about it. I wouldn't have been ready. Dave Ruppel. We actually had Adrian and Paul, host both husbands and wives, everyone except Taylor, at the house just to sort of talk about, were there signs? Did they see this potentially happening? Did they feel guilt? And it turned into a really heartfelt, emotional scene and the right way to open the season. Douglas Ross. We felt like we needed to follow the same advice we always gave the housewives. Talk about it, deal with it, confront it, and be real with your emotions, and the audience will embrace you. Alex Baskin. We screened the first episode for Taylor after giving her space, and it was one of the few times that we were looking for cast approval because we wanted to know that she was okay with what aired. She saw it and she said, "This is really well done, and the show should go on. I stand behind my story, I stand by my truth, and I stand by the way that you guys have portrayed it." So with that, we had her blessing. Andy Cohen. The season turned out to be a story of domestic abuse and a woman hiding it and trying to protect her husband. We did not want to air it if Taylor was against it. Next came the anxious wait to see how viewers would respond to the Housewives' darkest chapter to date. Alex Baskin. Our show became the referendum on reality TV. Andy Cohen. There was really relentless, upsetting, asinine coverage surrounding his death that looked at what happened in the most base, broad way without any nuance whatsoever or any exploration into who this guy was or where he was in his life or what was happening in his business. It was literally just, reality TV killed this guy. It was unfair. Adrian Maloof. The truth is, it wasn't reality television that brought him to that very dark, dark place. He had many years of issues that he had to deal with. Reality television showcased it. But it was not the reason. Andy Cohen. I have to say, the women were really great. They all worked together, and everyone wanted to protect Taylor and be mindful of her and respectful of her, and somehow turn this into something that could wind up helping someone. Adrian Maloof. Season 2 is very difficult to watch, very difficult. That was just a situation that turned really bad. Taylor Armstrong. At this point in my life, when I tell this story, it feels like the story of another person, you know? Douglas Ross. Taylor was a tough one, but she never blamed or accused us of a bad edit. We were very fair and measured. We wanted to do right by her, but also tell the real story. Sherry Levine. We hoped that by telling her story, we were shining a light on a truly terrible problem,
domestic abuse affects so many people. The fact that this was happening to Taylor, who had money, friends, and family, meant it could happen to all kinds of people. Taylor Armstrong. I do a lot of public speaking these days, and I tell people, you would be so surprised. You have so much more strength inside you than you would ever believe. In season 3, Yolanda Hadid, then Foster, joined the cast. To the frayed group, she brought a grounded spirit, not to mention the world's most magnificent walk-in refrigerator, and a trio of soon-to-be globally famous teen children. Dave Ruppel. Yolanda used to be married to Mohammed Hadid, who is Lisa Vanderpump's good friend, and the network was so in love with Lisa Vanderpump that the idea of another European with an accent was appealing. She was also married to David Foster, so it was just a very rich background. Yolanda Hadid, housewife. David was cautious about it, on the one hand, but on the other hand, he wanted me to work and have my own income. Chris Cullen. Yolanda came in beautiful, married to David Foster, a gorgeous house, those gorgeous kids. She had amazing taste and was fashionable and sophisticated and a world traveler. And she kind of checked a lot of the boxes that Lisa Vanderpump had been filling over the past 2 years. And I don't think Lisa liked it at all. Lisa didn't want any focus being taken away from her. Yolanda Hadid. Lisa was the most dangerous one on this show for sure. To your face, she was really nice. And then behind the scenes, she was cooking up all kinds of situations to make good TV. I'm very Dutch, very black and white. I'm not good at playing the game and kissing ass, and that was read by some of the women as being high and mighty. After an alienating but action-packed first season, newly promoted full-time housewife Brandy was playing a thankless but key role in the group as she formed a surprise alliance with Lisa. Andy Cohen. Lisa Vanderpump was legitimizing Brandy by taking her under her wing and finding humor in her. Brandy Glanville. Lisa Vanderpump is beautiful and funny. I kind of fell in love with her. She was very intoxicating. When she walks into a room, it's like, oh, she's arrived. It was fun to watch the queen. Andy Cohen. It was an interesting new wrinkle in the group. Brandy Glanville. When I got promoted to full-time housewife, Lisa started to make me believe that she was the reason I was on the show. She would make sure I knew she was responsible for my success. So I did feel indebted to her, and I believed her, because it seemed like she ran the show. Everything she wanted to happen seemed to happen. I thought she really did have the producer's ear. With Brandy allied with Lisa, Adrian found herself squarely in their crosshairs. Brandy Glanville. Producers had made it seem, since season one, like there were two queen bees, Adrian and Lisa. The public loved Adrian and thought she was the voice of reason. But Lisa wanted to be number one. It was a power struggle. Alex Baskin. Pretty early on, Lisa's humor rubbed Adrian the wrong way. So Lisa would get in little jabs at Adrian, who didn't like it. And then Lisa would react to that. Adrian Maloof. Lisa has a hard time saying when she's wrong. That's just her personality. But that can eat away at you, because if you can't admit wrongdoing and move on, then every time you see it replayed, you get angry again. Chris Cullen. Lisa specifically had an axe to grind with Adrian after she'd accused Lisa of giving stories to the tabloids at the season 2 reunion. Lisa was going to go after her, and she used Brandy. When Brandy eventually brought up a forbidden topic, she set off a chain of events that would have major consequences. Brandy Glanville.
I had learned about Adrian using a surrogate through someone who worked for Lisa, not from Lisa herself. I mentioned it to my boyfriend at the time, and he told me it was kind of an open secret that Adrian would walk around in a prosthetic belly. Of course, in hindsight, if you're wearing a prosthetic belly, you clearly don't want anyone to know you're not having your own kids. Adrian was trying to keep things on the DL because surrogacy wasn't really an open thing at the time, even though there was nothing wrong with it.
Dave Ruppel. The women had sort of an unspoken understanding. Everyone knew, but no one talked about it. Brandy Glanville.
When I told Lisa, she said, "Are you going to say anything?" She kept on harping on it. Clearly, she wanted me to say something because I don't have anything against Adrian. But I was so thankful that Lisa was my best friend. I wanted to make her happy.
Dave Ruppel. It came out at an all-housewife event at Sir, Lisa's restaurant. Brandy Glanville.
We were sitting at a table and everyone already knew and was laughing behind her back. I was just the first one to say it out loud, and everyone gasped like, "I can't believe you said that."
Kyle Richards.
That was just so, so low to me. To do something like that to a woman on television, nobody knew that. Her children didn't even know. To say something like that, who knows what would come next?
Camille Grammer.
I had also gone through surrogacy and chosen to be very open about it, but that was my choice. I thought it was wrong of Brandy to just blurt that out.
Brandy Glanville.
Every time Lisa wanted me to say something, she was like, "You know, Brandy, I would never tell you what to say." But then she'd make a few points about whoever she wanted me to take down, and it would just get the ball rolling in my head. So if anything came up, I had ammunition, and it would just come out.
Chris Cullen. In hindsight, Brandy was the first example of Lisa recruiting other people to do her dirty work for her. Kyle Richards.
Brandy became friends with Lisa Vanderpump, and I knew the second that happened that if Lisa ever wanted to get to me, she'd use Brandy to do it. That's how Lisa operated. She would silently send Brandy to do stuff for her against everyone.
Brandy Glanville.
She always liked to have someone nearby she could manipulate. It was a very unhealthy relationship that I had with Vanderpump.
Adrienne Maloof.
I'm not giving Brandy a pass, but Lisa encouraged her to come forward with that. Maybe Brandy looks like a bad person, but behind the scenes, it was also Lisa.
Brandy Glanville.
I have to take responsibility. It did come out of my mouth. Is that a crime? No. Did I say it? I did. So I'm an asshole.
Adrienne Maloof.
I wish it was done on my time, not her time. That's what was so difficult. My initial response was, "Screw this, I'm out of here. This is too much. Now it's affecting my children and invading my privacy."
Andy Cohen.
We kept saying to Adrienne, "You don't understand. This is going to be reported in a magazine. It's going to get out. Wouldn't it be better if it just played out on the show and you could turn it into some sort of a teachable moment?" But she refused.
Dave Ruppel. Adrienne stopped shooting with us for a while. She just couldn't go along with it. And ultimately, because it's a HIPAA issue, we're not allowed to talk about a medical situation without the person's permission. So we had no choice but to take it out.
Chris Cullen.
She threatened to sue us because we were airing private medical information. That was the technicality. So we bleeped out the word surrogacy or surrogate anytime it was said. And we warned her, "Look, it's out there. And once people hear these bleeps and can't quite figure out what you or Brandy are talking about, they're going to be digging and they're going to figure it out."
Adrienne Maloof.
There was just no turning back at that point.
Dave Ruppel.
Then she tried to sue Brandy.
Brandy Glanville.
That was just my first cease and desist letter. Nowadays, I joke that I'm going to make a coffee table book out of all of them.
As the season 3 reunion approached, Adrienne, still reeling from the surrogacy revelations and the collapse of her marriage, had a choice to make.
Chris Cullen.
We tried everything we could to get Adrienne there, to convince her that the best thing to do would be to not run from the story, but confront it head on.
Adrienne Maloof.
Everything kind of came crashing down at once. They were coaching me to come forward, but I was also going through a divorce thinking, now I've got to deal with a custody battle. I really didn't feel like I had anybody in my corner.
Chris Cullen.
My husband and I, we adopted our 2 children. So I kept telling Adrienne, "Look, I'm in a situation like you. Families are created many, many different ways. And you did this for a reason. Get out there and be proud of it." And we also tried the other side. Throw it back on what a horrible person Brandy is for bringing this up. Ask her why in the world she would do that. Make her answer for this.
Adrienne Maloof. I just needed relief, and I needed to step back and focus on my children. Chris Cullen. As much as our show was pitched as Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, the audience also wants to find something that they can relate to. And Adrienne could have really become a fan favorite by dealing with this topic in an honest way. And she could have put Brandy in her fucking place. But she just couldn't find the strength to do it. Alex Baskin. The truth is, had she shown up to the reunion, we would have kept going with her. Andy Cohen. I was bitchy on air about her not showing up at that reunion, and I regret it now. Adrienne Maloof. I'm so much stronger now, and I should have just pushed through it, but I was struggling at the time. Adrienne was just one of many women, both OG and new, exiting RHOBH in season 3. Still struggling to get her bearings after the wreckage of season 2, it was time for Taylor to step out of the spotlight. And Camille was still dealing with the fallout of a broken marriage that made it difficult for her to commit completely to the show. Chris Cullen. Camille exited because of the legal situation. Her divorce was in full swing. She was in court all the time. All of that was untouchable on the show. We weren't allowed to talk about it because we were under all these rules of Kelsey Grammer and this lawsuit over their divorce and custody arrangement. So she was stressed beyond belief, and we recognized that we weren't going to get any content about what was really happening in her life. Camille Grammer. I'm proud to have been a part of pop culture history. And it was good to wake up and have a job to go to. It gave me a focus other than the divorce and crying over my ex-husband. Was it a painful experience at times? Yes. Was it a learning experience? Yes. Do I regret it? No. Are there aspects of things I've said and done I regret? Yes. But on a whole, no. I'm glad I was part of it. In the middle of season 3, Lisa Vanderpump added another feather to her cap when her spinoff, Vanderpump Rules, premiered. Vanderpump's role as executive producer escalated long-simmering tensions for the other women, who were growing increasingly wary of her influence over housewives. Dave Rubel. I'm sure the women weren't happy that Lisa had 2 shows on Bravo. You'd have to think she had more power, and I know that rubbed the women the wrong way. Lisa Vanderpump. I always felt that Vanderpump Rules was very provocative. The fact that I had a spinoff when everybody else tried for a spinoff incited a lot of demons. Chris Cullen. I don't think the other women were pissed off about Vanderpump Rules specifically. It was more Lisa's way of presenting it. It was like, I'm holding the center diamond, and now I have a spinoff because I've got this special relationship with Andy and Bravo. Douglas Ross. She never hesitated to tell the other cast members how close she was with Andy, how much sway she had as the executive producer of her own show. I don't think she helped herself. Andy Cohen. Every so often, I had to call one housewife or another to promise them that they were as important to me as Lisa, that all were equal, and they were. Chris Cullen. She would constantly cut down the ladies' confidence in order to build herself up. She tried to make other ladies feel insecure, and that's what they resented. Yolanda Hadid. Obviously, there was a lot of jealousy of Lisa Vanderpump's success. Kyle Richards. No, not even a little bit. Lisa used to say that all the time. They're jealous, they're jealous. I've never, ever, and none of the other cast members, I promise, have ever been jealous of anything the other one is doing. It's funny that Lisa is the only woman who ever said that on the show. That's how she thinks. That's not how we think. Brandy Glanville. These bitches are jealous. They really can't be happy for each other. A lot of these women are like, it's my show, I'm the star. After the clearing of the decks in season 3, season 4 brought 2 new faces, practicing Wiccan mother of 3, Carlton Jebbia, and Joyce Giraud de Ohoven, a native Puerto Rican Miss Universe runner-up, actress and mother of 2. The results were mixed. Dave Rupel. Joyce was a beauty pageant contestant and was very sparkly and dynamic and from Puerto Rico and feisty. But the moment the cameras started running, she gave us pageant queen. Carlton, on the other hand, didn't hold back. But there were concerns from all sides about her Wiccan faith and how the show would present it. Dave Ruppel. Kyle got wind that we were hiring a witch, and she said, "I'm not going to work with somebody who will put a spell on me." Kim had the same fear. Carlton Jevia, housewife. The one thing I said from the start was, "I'm extremely wary about my faith being exploited because I'm not traditional, and it's something that's very sacred to me. And I will have a big problem if you go away I'm not okay with." Dave Ruppel. I said, "You know, there's going to come a point where you're going to hate my guts. That happens with every housewife. That just happens." And I said, "I need to know you're not putting a bad spell on me." So I understood Kyle and Kim's fear. But she told me a very convincing story that when you invite dark magic into your life, you don't have control over it. And she said, "Once I had my children, there was no way I would ever invite dark magic into my life because it could affect my kids." And that seemed very reasonable to me. The renewed group dynamic was fraught from the start. Carlton Jevia. "It was just high school shit. Apparently Kyle and Lisa wanted to paint me as the villain because I was a fucking witch. I started to get pissed off because I felt like I was being exploited and my faith was being exploited. Kyle would say shit to me and she took it too far when she accused me of being anti-Semitic. I had gotten a tattoo that Kyle thought was the Star of David and I was like, 'No, it's a fucking pentagram and you should know this, you're Jewish.' I went from 0 to 60 in a split second because it was just so predictable. Meanwhile, the bitch was walking up to my house saying it was like Harry Potter's house. She was a soulless troll that would sell her soul to make money or to be in the spotlight. I fucking was horrified." And with new perspectives came fresh accusations, the biggest of which were against Lisa Vanderpump, whose behind-the-scenes maneuvering had become increasingly apparent to the other housewives over the course of the show's early seasons. Brandy Glanville.
"Housewives was Lisa's baby. She would set up what she wanted to happen down the road."
Chris Cullen. "She thought the best way to do that was to have these big, impactful, explosive secrets revealed or big gossipy moments where other people looked bad, so she could then console them or advise them. But she didn't want her hands dirty. She didn't want to be the one who's bringing up gossip and rumors." Brandy Glanville.
"Even when we weren't shooting, all we would talk about was the show. It was really exhausting, to be honest."
Alex Baskin. The cast started to question her. Chris Cullen. "Beverly Hills is a small town, and Lisa had a reputation for manipulating and dropping her friends. I wish she had embraced that sneaky part of her personality a little bit more, but she wanted to appear different on camera than who she really was." Yolanda Hadid.
"I always said, 'My God, these women, they walk over dead bodies to get camera time and to be famous.' That was the hardest thing for me to learn."
Chris Cullen. "I'm guessing Kyle was getting a bad taste in her mouth, too, because remember she said during the season 2 reunion that being friends with Lisa is like playing chess with Bobby Fischer?" Kyle Richards.
"Lisa and I, people like to focus on the drama of housewives, but we had so much fun. We have the same sense of humor and we laughed our asses off. We could be naughty at times and it was fun for me to have someone to do that with. We laughed harder than anybody. So it was like, I love you, I have fun with you, but I don't trust you at all."
Carlton Jevia.
"There was so much drama between Lisa and Kyle. They were both sort of desperate to be the queen bee."
Tensions came to a head when tabloid accusations about infidelity in Kyle's marriage showed up on a girls' weekend to Palm Springs. A major dispute broke out over who brought them. Chris Cullen. The ladies were getting very suspicious that Lisa was supplying information to Radar Online and TMZ. Brandy Glanville.
"I still don't know for certain how the rumors about Mauricio having affairs, which were never even proven, got out. I feel like it was probably Lisa behind that story, Why else would she want me to bring it up? It was all too convenient.
Chris Cullen. The tabloids in the suitcase. It happened off camera, but it happened. Brandy Glanville.
Yolanda came over to my house prior to leaving, and we were looking at these tabloids. Then Lisa got there and she said, "You have to bring these," and she put them in my fucking bag.
Chris Cullen. Brandy took them out of the suitcase, and Lisa put them back in. Brandy Glanville.
I said, "No, I'm not bringing these. Listen, I'm not here to ruin a marriage over a fucking rumor. It's one thing if it's true, and I have exact proof of it, and a reason to bring it up. And listen, when you're on reality TV, you have to share things when you know they're 100% true. That's what you do. But if it's a rumor, I'm sorry."
Kyle Richards.
Everybody knew Lisa put the tabloids in the suitcase. She will deny it until the day she dies. She was trying to create drama, but she didn't want her hands dirty.
Dave Ruppel. We did not have that on camera, so that's another case of there's no smoking gun to trace it back to. Chris Cullen. Once they were in Palm Springs, Brandy kept bringing up the tabloids because Lisa Vanderpump was making her do that. Lisa wasn't going to do it herself. Yolanda Hadid.
Everybody was afraid of Lisa Vanderpump because she was the head honcho. She was the big boss. She was the one that created a lot of that show and the content of it. That's just business. That's just a fact.
Brandy Glanville.
We were a little afraid, to be honest, because if you go against her, you're not going to have a job.
Dave Ruppel. Brandy never shared that fear with me, although it doesn't surprise me. And, you know, Lisa talked about the show a lot. But if Lisa had called Andy one day and said, "Get Brandy off the show," I don't think she had that kind of sway. No one has that sway. Andy Cohen. Every so often, someone will mention to me that someone should be shown the door or say that they won't come back if someone they dislike is on the show. I can't think of a situation where another housewife has made that demand and it's worked. Brandy Glanville.
I was sitting in my backyard one day and got a call from Andy who was like, "Listen, no one has special privileges. We are showing everyone's story. And don't think you're here because of Lisa. You just have to be true to yourself and not be afraid of her." He made me feel very comfortable, so I decided I was going to be the one to call out her bullshit.
Andy Cohen. It just got to this point where Lisa was boxed into a corner. None of the other women liked her. She was an island. Brandy Glanville.
I didn't want to cross her. I was in love with her. I loved her more than pretty much anyone. She took care of me for quite a few seasons, and she was like my mom. And you don't cross Lisa without getting fucked. Even one word that's negative. But when I met Yolanda, and then Kim and I became friends, I was like, you girls let me be me. From Lisa, I would get lectures like, "Brandy, you shouldn't say that." But they never said, "Say this, do that." We're actually friends. So it was very refreshing. I could be my authentic self without having to be someone's sidekick. And Lisa just wanted to ruin my fucking life. Of course, there is a part of me that still loves her in a weird way, but she's the biggest asshole on the planet.
Carlton and Joyce both left after one season. But season 6 saw two iconic soap opera stars join the cast, and the drama ramped up accordingly. First was someone the producers had been eyeing since the very beginning, Lisa Rinna. Lisa Rinna.
When producers approached me again, I was colder than cold. I could barely get an agent. So I just started looking at everything. We were talking about the possibility of creating my own reality show. I thought to myself, what is the best real estate on television right now if you're going to do a reality show? Housewives, look at Bethany. I saw what had happened with her and her business. So I thought, I'm going to meet with Evolution, but I'm going to drop some hints about being on Housewives without saying I should be a housewife. And I guess on the flip side, they were doing the exact same thing. Meeting me about doing a reality show, but really wanting me to be a housewife.
Andy Cohen. 6 years later, the idea I was so against now seemed brilliant. Rinna had existing relationships with many of the women for years. She just fit. Rinna was joined by longtime friend Eileen Davidson, who is hitting a career high as she started filming for RHOBH. Jennifer Redinger. Eileen was on a soap opera and lived in Beverly Hills and won actual awards. Like, who doesn't want that? Eileen Davidson, housewife. My husband Vinny used to make fun of me for watching reality TV. He didn't really get it. It was an ignorance is bliss type of situation for him. Lisa Rinna.
It was a really happy surprise when Eileen was cast the same season because I've always loved her. The last time I had seen her, we were doing Days of Our Lives at the same time.
Eileen Davidson. Before I even signed a contract, they decided to cover me getting ready for the Daytime Emmys. I'd been nominated, and Chris Cullen and I had been speaking, and it was kismet because they were able to shoot me coming out after I won. But I wasn't even under contract when they shot that.
But once Eileen did officially join, she had to meet Brandy at a dinner with Yolanda and Lisa Rinna, in which Brandy took her soap opera fandom a bit too far.
Eileen Davidson. I'll tell you what happened. I knew Brandy was a Days of Our Lives fan, so she's like, oh, come on, do some of those little soap opera moves, and she wouldn't let it go. And then she threw the wine in my face, and I actually laughed. But the reason why I got so emotional is because after she threw the glass of wine in my face, she started saying, you bitch, you cheated on your husband, how could you do that?
Brandy Glanville.
I don't throw wine. I mean, I do throw wine, but not, like, often. But she actually laughed after I did it. We were all laughing.
Eileen Davidson. What made me cry was realizing that I was in this really fucked up world. A really crazy fucked up world. And Yolanda ended up driving me home, and I remember saying, Yolanda, what the hell are you doing on this show? Eileen soon found herself in the middle of one of the season's big dramas when a poker night at her house highlighted Kim's worrying behavior.
Eileen Davidson.
Lots of things had been said off camera about Kim's behavior over the years. Lots and lots and lots of things.
Lisa Rinna.
It was clear as a bell that night that she was on something. It was really frustrating to watch and be like, why isn't anybody helping her?
Eileen Davidson.
She had her sister there. She had Brandy there. So I wasn't thinking, I've got to get this person help. I just didn't get why she was on camera clearly inebriated. It didn't make any sense to me.
Lisa Rinna.
It's really tough when you're dealing with somebody who is not themselves and maybe is on something that is affecting their mood. So I was more in shock than anything else.
Eileen Davidson.
We found out later that she had taken some kind of a pill or whatever, and then it became, maybe this is something we should bring up. I didn't feel great about it, but she brought her personal problem into my home.
The questions surrounding Kim's behavior came to a head when the ladies flew to the Netherlands. Tensions hit a fever pitch at a dinner that ended with Kim making vague accusations about Lisa Rinna's husband, Harry Hamlin, and Lisa lunging at Kim and breaking a glass. Yolanda Hadid.
Obviously, the explosion that first night out to dinner was not fun.
Lisa Rinna.
To this day, we still don't know what Harry supposedly did. I'd love to know. He'd love to know.
Chris Cullen.
I really think Kim just tried to throw something out there just to be provocative. I've had many conversations with her about this, and she has never told me what she meant.
Brandy Glanville.
Kim didn't know anything. She was just posturing. But the fact that Lisa got so upset kind of makes you think there was something to it.
Eileen Davidson.
All that weird shit with Lisa Rinna and Kim was kind of emotionally messed up. Rinna's eyes looked like she had PTSD. When you threaten somebody with a glass, I mean, that's crazy shit.
Chris Cullen.
That was a fucking real moment. That was as real as it gets. There was nothing manufactured there. That accusation, that anger, all of that was, you know, insanity.
Eileen Davidson.
Bravo had no idea what they were getting when they got Lisa Rinna. I saw her in action that first season and I was like, holy crap,
You were born for this.
Lisa Rinna.
The show brings out things in you that aren't necessarily triggered in real life. So there are times when I see myself in the third person and I'm just like, who is that?
Andy Cohen.
This may be contrary to what everyone thinks I would say, but I do not like it when a glass is broken or thrown. It is an overused trope. You're taking a very real moment where someone's really mad, like when someone is insinuating something about your husband, and turning it into a TV show.
Lisa Rinna.
I remember being in the moment and almost putting my hands on Kim. And I remember I had like a divine intervention. I'm not even kidding. Something from above said, do not touch her or you will go to prison. That's why if you watch the scene closely, I back up because I've got this energy. And that's when I grabbed the glass and broke it because I was going to literally put my hands on her.
Kyle Richards.
When the glass flew, I ran out. I suffer from anxiety, and when there's anything uncomfortable that stresses me out, I flee. We were in a public place, so I don't know where I was going, but I had to get out of there because my anxiety couldn't take it.
On the final night of the trip, a playful moment between off-again friends, Brandy and Vanderpump, turned accusatory.
Brandy Glanville.
We were on a canal cruise, joking around, and I was like, either kiss me or I'm going to smack you. If you're going to kiss someone, you don't hate them. I just wanted to make up and make it funny. And then I went in for the kiss, and we were on a fucking boat. You can't escape. But she wouldn't do it.
Lisa Rinna.
Brandy has that thing where she likes to make something happen. It really wasn't that big of a slap.
Brandy Glanville.
I literally gave her a love slap. She was definitely shocked, but it was completely playful.
Eileen Davidson.
She barely touched her. I mean, Brandy was an asshole, but that was Lisa Vanderpump.